Let me ask you a question. How much thought do you give to your day-to-day actions? And I don't mean if you're at your best behavior or at your worst behavior, but just the regular day-to-day you. Honestly, I never gave it that much thought until I ran into somebody the other day, and I couldn't believe how much my behavior when I was in just a regular situation, not giving it much thought, impacted her so much so that years later, she just had to tell me. And when you get through the passages that we're going to be reading today in the book of John, where Jesus teaches us about how what we sow now, others may reap down the road, well, I have a feeling you're going to walk away from this thinking about your day-to-day you in a totally different perspective. Trust me, it's a good one, and if you just give me the next 15 minutes of your time, I bet you're going to think about it in a different way too. It's all coming up on She Read It Herself. Hi, how are you, my sweet friend? Oh, I hope you're doing well. I'm actually doing really well, and I say it like that because I'm at so much more peace than my logical brain thinks I should be at. This buying my first home process is insanity. There are so many little hiccups and trip ups that have come along the way that old me would have been panicking. Old me would have thought, that's it. The sky is falling. It's never going to work. I'm going to be homeless. But I'm actually totally okay. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you can skip back a couple episodes, or better yet, the whole thing's on my Instagram at Ms. Pink Monster. But I'm going to do, once this whole home buying process is over and I see at the end how, yes, this was all part of God's plan, I'm going to share it with you. But all that to say, everything we have been doing, all the promises we have been reading, the scripture that we have been diving into together, it has been preparing me for trials like I'm facing right now. And my goodness, hand to the sky, it is a testament that this works. What we're doing here really, really works. It has a major impact on your life. Just getting to know God a little better through a couple verses at a time. And today is going to be no different. If you missed Tuesday's episode, we got to the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, the five times divorcee that Jesus chose and he used in big ways. And it goes on to say after we left off that the Samaritan woman's testimony that many people in Samaria came to believe because of her testimony. And we're picking up right after that. It's John 4, 30 through 42. If you have your Bible handy, go ahead and pick it up, follow along, grab a journal so you can make notes. And if not, if you've got your earbuds in, you're cleaning your kitchen, you're driving to school pickup, that's okay too. Let's go through it together. Verse 30, they left the city and were on their way. 31, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and complete his work. It's so funny. I mean, how many of these are we going to go through where it's the disciples or it's the Pharisees and what Jesus says, they just think literally. I mean, who gave you food? Like, we didn't give you any food. Where'd you get this food from? And of course, that's not what Jesus is talking about. And maybe at some point they're going to get what these metaphors are actually talking about, but not yet. So we know what Jesus is talking about. But here's the good part. Verse 35, do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. I know, these sound confusing. First time I read them, they went whoop, right over my head. But seriously, we're going to have an aha moment, I swear. Verse 37, for here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. That's what she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days more because of her testimony. The Samaritans, who were people that did not like to interact with the Jews, came to Jesus and asked him to stay longer. Last verse, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because what you said that we believe, for we have heard it ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Now, let's not just skip over that part, you know, with the sowing and the reaping, where maybe our eyes glazed over, because that's actually the meat of what I want to talk about today. In verse 35, he says, 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you. See how the fields are ripe for harvesting. He's talking about the people around him that are ready to come to believe, that are ready to have him as a part of their lives, have their lives changed. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the bounty that is ready from the fields. But then he says, the reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. One sows and another reaps. This is the way I took these verses, because as I always say and will always continue to say, this is what I got out of when I read these verses. But she read it herself means you go read it. See what you think. You could get something totally different out of it, because maybe that's what God is trying to tell you. But here's my two cents of what I got. One sows and another reaps, meaning we may not get to see the impact our actions can have on someone we're ministering to. Or forget that, it may not even be somebody we're ministering to. It could just be the people that observe us, the people that we interact with in our world. We may not get to see what bounty comes out of what we are sowing. We are sowing by our testimony, and we're sowing just by the way we live our lives. I'm talking about how we minister to people through our behavior. How maybe we stand out to someone because of how we act based on our faith. And we may never know how that plays out in the bigger picture. We may not be the reaper, but we are always sowing, whether we think about it or not. Sowing for good, or are we sowing for bad? Are we being a good representative of Jesus and how he lives in our life? Or are we one of those Christians who's really not representing our faith too well? Let me tell you about something that happened to me recently, because it was the wildest thing. I took my kids to a pool, to a big community pool splash place, and we're out there, we're having a good time. I'm being normal day-to-day Natasha mom me. And this woman, I kind of caught her staring a couple times, and I was like, I don't know, like, do I got a boob popping out of my bikini? Like, what's going on here? And she finally came over, and she was like, hi, I know you don't remember me, but I just had to come talk to you. I used to work as a dental hygienist in the dentist office that your kids went to when they were little. I haven't seen them in a few years, but I just had to tell you that when they came in last, it was several years ago, and your ex was there with you too. And I knew from everything going on in the radio, everything you were writing about in your blog, I knew about the awful struggle you were going through. But I also knew about what he was saying about you. And just watching you and watching the way that you acted in such grace, with such patience, the way you interacted with your ex and with your kids, I was inspired, saying, if this girl can do it, I can too. She's the real deal. I believe what she's saying because she doesn't know I'm watching, and I'm sitting here seeing her show restraint and grace towards this man that I know is making her life hell. I had no idea somebody was watching me, and I certainly didn't know it would impact them enough to have to come and tell me at the pool years later. Looking back, thank goodness I wasn't a jerk that day. I was not always so nice. Now, I don't know how much or how little that's actually going to impact this lady's life, but what if she's still following me? What if she saw on my Instagram that I started this podcast? What if she listens to it and starts finding out about scripture? If I had been a real tool at that dentist office, and maybe not such a witness of my true character, my character based on my faith, who knows? Maybe she would have just written me off and then not listened to anything I had to say later. It's all hypothetical, but that's kind of the point, right? We never know how our actions are playing out in the bigger plan that God has. How what we're sowing, somebody else could be reaping later. Look at the woman by the well. It says in verse 39 that many came to believe because of her testimony. Who knows if she ever found that out? She may have just spread it and then gone on to husband number 5. We don't know. But just because you don't get to see the end result doesn't mean your actions aren't playing a pivotal role in God's plan today. I used to think of my day-to-day behavior or the small decisions I made as something that was basically just between me and God. Like, you know, when I would pray before bed, Lord, please forgive me for losing my temper with that lady that pulled in front of me on the interstate today. Confession, I am a secret rage driver. I don't know what is wrong with me. I am a different person behind the wheel of a car, and I get angry. Natasha gets very, very angry. And, you know, forgive me, God, for shaking my fist at her. I probably should have behaved like a better Christian. But I didn't really think about it in, oh, I'm going to impact that lady's life somehow, or that small decision wasn't a very good testimony. I just thought it as something I needed to ask for forgiveness between me and God. Another example off the top of my head is I had a doctor's appointment the other day for, and hopefully she's not listening, and I was running late for it. And I might have fudged the truth a little about why I was late. Truly, I was just running late, but I blamed it on the kids. I told a white lie. No, let's call it what it is. I told a lie. And I asked God for forgiveness about that. But I did not take into account, that's not a very good testimony that you're showing this woman. What if somehow she finds out later? All of a sudden, she says she's a Christian, but I know she lied to me. You never know how what you've sown today could be reaped later. So what if we had a little perspective shift? What if we thought about how we carry ourselves, good or bad, as not just having an impact on our relationship with God, but what if we had the perspective that whatever we do, how we act towards others, the words we use, is actually the way we are sowing the fields, as Jesus put it. You guys know I like to journal about the verses that I read, and I wrote in my journal for this about what is a different way I can obey based on these verses. And one of them, because I was like, well, that's a lot of pressure on me to always be managing my behavior, always be thinking about, is this going to be a testimony to others? It's not the most realistic way to live. We could drive ourselves crazy. So I wrote in my journal, what if one way that I can be better about this, about managing how I'm witnessing to others through my regular day-to-day me, what if I could focus on being in tune with the Holy Spirit? That's a doable task, because when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, He's going to give us those gentle nudges that we need. Remember how earlier in John we learned about Jesus saying that He was sending the Holy Spirit? He called it the Advocate, the Helper. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be our little inner conscience. I can't help but picture the stupid cricket in Pinocchio, like worst Disney movie of all time, just totally creeped me out. But I picture that little cricket when I think of the Holy Spirit and that He lives in me. He nudges me when maybe you shouldn't have acted that way when you were shaking your fist angrily at that woman in the carpool line. Maybe it would have been better to show some grace. You know, what if she looked over and you had smiled and just waved like, okay, I'm letting it go. What if you had done that instead? By being in tune with the Holy Spirit, I get those nudges. Over time, I love the Holy Spirit so much. I feel like a cheese ball saying that, like a cheese ball church girl being like, I love my Jesus so much, but I do. I love the Holy Spirit because that's how big of an impact that relationship has had on my life. And listen, there are things that dull that relationship through trial and error. I have unfortunately, I guess kind of fortunately, figured that out. When I let the voices around me get too loud, I don't hear Him as much. I need to be very aware of what I'm letting fill my ears. I had to unfollow a few accounts on Instagram because they were just toxic. They were there for just... They were there for just all negative energy. You know, it was complete trash, but I found some sick pleasure out of it when, along with hundreds of thousands of other people. But I had to unfollow some of those. I've had to really think about what TV shows I watch, what voices you're letting influence you. Because when the negative ones, the ungodly ones, get a little too loud, guess what? I can't hear. I can't hear the Holy Spirit as much. Same thing goes with when I let my human voice get too loud, my ego get too loud. What I want, what I need. When I start listening to her and giving in to her, again, she gets loud and then I can't hear. I can't hear the Holy Spirit. So I try really hard and I am a work in progress. Aren't we all? But I try real hard to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. And before I let you go, I just want to say this. This deal, what we're talking about today, the sowing and the reaping, the being in tune with the Holy Spirit, it is a win-win. You got nothing but upside by focusing on this and trying to make this change in your life. Being able to hear the Holy Spirit has made my life so much better. Do you remember how I opened the show talking about I should not be feeling the peace I'm feeling? That's why. That's why. And then the second win, you know, we're talking about the sowing and the reaping, is all those small decisions, those little changes in my behavior I make because I feel the nudge from the Holy Spirit. They may seem like meaningless decisions at the time, waving to the person that cut you off, or how I was showing grace to my ex in front of the dental hygienist, having no idea it was going to have an impact on her. By listening to that still small voice, I am sowing without even realizing it. And who knows what the reaping could be? Who knows the impact that you could have and never even realize you're doing it. So that's my nugget for today. That's what I'm going to leave you with. So, you know, as you leave this episode and you inevitably get cut off somewhere around the Beltway because the drivers here are terrible, maybe give a wave. You never know. Okay, my friends, if you like this, please, please, please share it with a fellow woman of faith. Leave a quick review if you have 2 seconds, so that way the Apple algorithm can push this podcast out there, and be sure to hit the follow, subscribe, so you get these as soon as they drop. I can't wait to see you next time. Oh, and send me messages. Hit send me a DM on Insta at Ms. MS Pink Monster. I love to hear from you. I love writing back. Okay, I'm really leaving you this time. Bye.